Bonanza Brothers? Where's the Downey Brothers game? Next on the Atari ST Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Atari ST Show. Start to look at the quirky, fun-filled Atari ST computer. Your good buddy, AmigoWare.
Wait, what about the two Americans? Take a look at the quirky Atari ST.
The Atari ST is American.
Well, hey, so you gotta stay consistent.
You have to always jump on my intro, the Brent. Listen, you're like a very stupid kangaroo. You're always jumping on my stuff. Happy rainy Sunday, everybody, as we record this. It's a rainy, rainy day. We're going to try to soldier through and record the show. Brent.
Yes.
I like a good heist film as much as the next guy. One of these movies where they set up the perfect crime and they go in and then they get it done. Do you have any thoughts on that genre of cinema?
They're mostly crap.
You don't like any of that stuff?
No, because it's usually so convoluted and just ridiculous, and they try to keep it in the... You have to go one of two ways with it.
Yeah.
You either have to go so far off the rails that your brain turns off.
Yeah.
Or you have to make it realistic and not just a bunch of this, oh, it's amazing that these two things lined up perfectly and you know... You've got to do one or the other. You can't try to go in the middle because then it's just bad.
The one thing I would include, and if I was going to go out and write one of these things and film it, is a slinky scene where a hot, sexy girl slithers on the floor underneath lasers. That's part of it. And you'd think to yourself, you know, if a hot, sexy girl can navigate this room of lasers, maybe you should put a laser at floor level.
Yeah. Well, you would think floor level would be where the laser would be anyway to detect the feet. But, you know,
I want to see a movie.
Who am I to judge?
I want to see a movie where the hot, sexy girl holds a flashlight and the big tubby oaf does the slithering. Now, that would be something. The lasers are just round enough for the tubby oaf to get through. What about the bit where they lower a sucker from the ceiling? You know, like in a Mission Impossible movie, they're on like a swivel. You know, and they if you touch the floor, it's just not the poison gas.
Right.
It's not one of my favorites.
Which is very surprising for a bank, but what are you going to do?
If you think about how ludicrous that the protections these places are, because if you've got something that valuable, just have a guy with a gun stand beside the safe.
I can do you one better.
Yeah.
Just have a gun continuously firing at the door. Just all the time. Just loads and loads of ammo.
You know, when I think it's my, you know, you're the bad guy or whatever. You've got the valuable item, and you don't want it to be stolen. I always think about Goldfinger, where Bond escapes the jail that Art Goldfinger's got him in. So in the next scene, when they catch him, he's sitting in the jail cell. There's like 15 guys sitting there, and they're pointing a gun at him. That's the way you do it. He's not going to escape.
That's it.
You know, but that's the way it's going to be. Now, we've played a game that it has some similarities to Bonanza Brothers, we're playing today. It reminds me of the old Cliffhanger. That's another, and you know, of course, based on the show, where you've got the tall guy and the fat guy, the two robbers. You know, it's exactly the same premise. I mean, the gameplay is slightly different, I'll grant you.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But, you know, I've also heard this compared to the Blues Brothers, which, I mean, I guess if you've got a tall guy and a fat guy, then you've got, that's an easy comparison. That's sort of like me and you. I'm the tall guy.
Well, you know what you could really compare this to, gameplay-wise, Arachnophobia. Yeah, Arachnophobia.
There's a game for that?
For dolls.
Yeah.
Where you play as, who's the main
John
lead?
John Goodman?
Yeah. And you go through and you have to exterminate bugs and spiders in the house. It's the same long one row thing where you can walk into the... Well, you can't walk into the background on that one, but you can still jump up on objects and stuff.
Did that game get ported to anything except for DOS? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the film.
I'm pretty sure there's an Amiga port of it.
By the way, there was a 0% chance I would see Arachnophobia.
Why?
Because I really don't like spiders.
Oh,
it'd be no good for me.
I mean, are the spiders going to come off the film?
Listen, yeah, but you, when you're sitting there, you know there, that theater's probably full of spiders.
And
they're just waiting to screw you.
What, they're waiting for you to watch the movie?
Look, I don't want anything that's going to remind me that spiders exist. Same reason I don't want to watch a bunch of things where a bunch of snakes are crawling around. I'm like Indiana Jones. I don't do the snakes.
Man, spiders are super useful, so
well,
that's silly.
Not for me. Well, with all that said, Brett, today's game is Bonanza Brothers. Let's give this thing a go. All right, Brent. You know, it's funny. Bonanza Brothers, which is this week's game on the Atari ST show, it's a game that I've heard of for years.
Yeah.
I mean, for years and years. It's been around. I hear it. I have never, ever played any version of this game until this week. Not
really?
One time.
Really?
No. Okay. It's just, and the thing is, I don't ever remember seeing this in the arcade. And I was...
I don't remember being live. No, not...
I was in the arcade when this would have came out. So I don't think this was a huge hit in the States.
No, this... Oh, okay.
I mean, I know it was popular everywhere else, but it wasn't a big deal to say. So let's talk about, we're getting to the ST version of this proper. Let's talk about the arcade version. This was developed and published by Sega in the arcades and was released April 7th, 1990.
Yeah.
So this would have been, man, I was hitting the arcades good and hard in 90. That's so, I'm surprised I didn't see it. This got ported to, this has surprised me. I mean, in all honesty. This got a Amstrad CPC port, of course, the Atari, C64, Amiga, the Sega Master System, the PC Engine, the Genesis, the Sharp X68000, and the ZX Spectrum all got ports of this. And I looked at all these ports, and I played a couple of them, and we'll get into that in a little bit just to get some my thoughts on those. This was on the Sega System 24 board. I think this might be the first game they released for it. And in the arcade, you take on either the red or blue robot, and sometimes they have names, sometimes they don't. Sometimes red's called Robo, and blue is called Mobo. Sometimes they're called Mike and Spike, and sometimes they're not called anything.
Consistency.
Right. So in the arcade, which you are stealing... stuff.
Yes.
That's the game. You're two like robotic guys, or I guess they're Robo and Mobo. I guess they're robots.
I don't think they're supposed to be robots.
Oh, really? I don't know. Anyway, they're this game's sort of abstract in a lot of ways, but this game has sort of the same sort of makeup as, say, Spy versus Spy. It's sliced into three distinct areas. This is a one or two player simultaneous joint.
Yep.
And there's a middle portion of the screen that is dedicated to the map
and
telling
scores.
You where the stuff giving you all the information you need. You can, when you play this, both guys have an independent screen. They can go wherever they want. What was that alien game? Was it Xenophobe?
Or yes.
That had the same sort of setup from back in the day?
Although the middle section was another player.
Right. That one had three players in it. In the arcade game, you are tasked with, you know, you get jobs and you do them. The jobs include a mansion, a bank, a casino. There's a art gallery, a few other things. You know, the classic stuff. This went on to be a pretty popular game, like I said, Japan. Game Machine listed Bonanza Brothers in their July 15, 1990 issue as being the third most popular arcade game in Japan at that point.
Yep.
Keep in mind, this is 1990.
A lot of
Japan
good stuff out there.
Cranking out good stuff.
Yep.
Right there. And overall, it was a pretty well-accepted game. And, of course, it got the multitude of ports, including the port to the Atari ST. So we're going to jump into the ST port. This was released a year later, 1991. So they didn't wait around too long to release it.
No reason to.
This was, of course, U.S. Gold licensed this from Sega. This is when U.S. Gold was licensed and they could get hold of that was dark tape. But, I mean, this was an easy choice. And developed by Synergy. Synergy didn't do a ton of stuff on the ST, but they did Crystal Kingdom Dizzy, Rebellion, something called Slack Skin and Flint. What a great name, rolls off the tongue. And Wind Turbos. I don't think I may have played Crystal Kingdom Dizzy. I've not played any of the other games there. And this was a price at 25 pound 99p. So $26.
Wow, full price.
This was not a disc a low ender for sure. The programmer, this Andy Severin, he worked on a lot of the Dizzy games. He worked on the Joe Blades games. He worked on a couple of Last Ninja games for the ST. He worked on Outlands, Dominion, Heavy Metal Heroes, and Twin Turbos. The graphic artist that's worked on about the same stuff, his name was Martin Severin or Jabba. He's got a pretty big name. Amongst the other things he worked on was WWF WrestleMania, so he should be condemned for that. Although the graphics, those are fine. It's not his fault. And in the music of this was Mark Wilson. He worked on the ST. He worked on Civilization, Crystal Kingdom Dizzy, and Around the Bend. This had one disc on it, and you were good to go. Self-booting, you put in and go. So, the premise on this hasn't changed, except it has.
Yeah, it's a completely different story.
when you play the some of the home versions, I guess they didn't want you to be perceived as a thief.
Well, and shooting police.
Well, but you never kill a single cop.
I know.
So this has in the documentation. This also appears like in game. It says Mobo and Robo Bonanza, the reformed villains, were sitting quietly watching TV when suddenly the picture crackled and the shadowy figure of a mysterious stranger appeared on the screen. Good evening, boys. I've got a job for you that was right up your alley. My businesses are being burgled. I wish to hire you to test my security force. I have placed certain items in each building for you to gather. If you can retrieve them all, I will reward you. I'm depending on you, boys. Now, that's all well and good. Okay, clearly we've got
that's the biggest setup since setups.
Well, also, this is wrong. Dumb. Because in the bonus stage of this, you're avoiding spotlights to steal. And when you get caught, they arrest you.
Yeah.
So clearly they decided at some point, they were like, we got to make sure these guys aren't perceived as crooks. They're crooks. Don't let the docs fool you. Don't let the intro fool you. What do you think? It's too controversial to play a crook, do you think, Brent?
Well, I'll tell you this. The reason this game missed out on the first compilation Sega did for like the PlayStations, that kind of era, was because this game was too over the top with its theming. And it would have taken the rating from a T to an M.
Really?
Yes.
This would have? That's
yes.
Unbelievable to me.
So I can totally see them trying to avoid that perceivance of shooting at police and law enforcement and trying to make the hero, try to make the person you play as the good guys.
I love the docs on this. They're slight, but they're kind of funny. They mentioned the players are Robo and Mobo Bonanza, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
So get this. Robo, the smarter of the two brothers, that's Robo now. The smarter of his two brothers relies on his brains and stealth to achieve his aims. Poor Mobo. Mobo doesn't have the brains of his brother, just muscle. Unfortunately, it is between his ears, but comes in useful when in a tight situation. That doesn't make any sense to me. His muscles between his ears, but he's dumb.
Are you sure to say it's not between
no,
his ears?
No, it is between his ears. Well, that's a capture directly from the doc.
Yeah, that's obviously a typo.
So that doesn't make a lick of sense. So let's talk about the game on the ST. It comes up. It's got a full arcade like demo mode where it comes up
yeah,
and gives you the nice
little story.
What did you think about it when you first laid eyes?
Well, I have a history with this game, and it's not good.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, get into that.
Well, I mean, it's not an interesting history. When I was running through MAME, this is a game I always saw the splash screen for, right? The grab picture. I was like, oh, man, that looks great. And then I would load it up, and I remember that I'd played this previously and instantly turned it off.
Okay. So not an fan of the arcade version.
Well... Okay, we'll go with that for now. But it's fine. Everything about this on the ST is fine. The presentation looks good. This was hugely popular in the arcade, almost solely due to its graphics and its music at the time. At least that's what made it stand
really?
Out. Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. because this had that, it had a CGI style graphics in the arcade, just slightly. And the music on this is top notch, as I'm sure you know.
In the arcade.
Well, nothing is top notch everywhere you can play it.
Well,
but
I'm gonna disagree to a lot here.
But let's talk about the game proper.
Right.
You choose which one of the two brothers you want to control, and it's actually based on what controller for the ST. It's based on what controller port you're plugged into, and even though you choose which one to play, the screen is the same no matter what. You either play at the top third portion of the screen or the bottom third portion of the screen. So the screen is divided into three sections. Nothing you do is going to change that. The gameplay on this has you... It's set up to be a stealth game where you can walk into the back plane, which should put you slightly in the background, and that is basically your stealth mode. And when you're back there, you are hidden from enemies. Even though an enemy can walk right beside you, obviously see you, but you're hidden, so it's fine. And then you kind of pop out of your little hidey hole, and you can shoot the security. If you shoot them in the back, some of the guards you have to shoot in the back.
The riot shield guards, yeah.
And you try to navigate what is usually a 3, 4, or 5-story building. Some of them get clever and split it up so it's two buildings and you have to, you know, zip rope from one to the other. And all that's fine. It plays out fine. You have a short press to shoot your gun. None of the deaths are permanent. They always get up. And that's part of the challenge of the game. And if you long press your button, you will actually jump.
Yeah.
The stages have X amount of collectibles. I think it goes from between 4 and 10.
It gets towards the end where
it's a little ridiculous. Yeah. And the stages, of course, get larger as you go on. The stages could also have hazards. You can slip on Coke cans. You can step on rakes, different things, almost exclusively on the floor. I can't think of any of the ones
you
can
fall off. Well, if you miss the
zip line,
you fall. I did that.
Yeah,
you'll see that. If you're watching this, this is my playthrough where I fall to my doom.
So you can, and your only alternative weapon, I guess you can say, is you can open a door, and if a officer or security is on the exact other side, you actually will slam them into the background and you can stun them that way. It controls fine. Did you have any problem with the controls?
Oh, God, yes. In fact, I'm disagreeing with you. I'm listening to you calmly.
Right.
Just wait for my turn to disagree with the majority of what you're saying.
What? Okay, I can't. I'm kind of curious. What do you disagree with?
Well,
is that not how the game plays?
The game plays pretty much like you said.
Okay, well.
But the controls, they're not good.
Oh, no, they're not good. No.
You've got one button to do two things.
Yes.
And the thing is, they couldn't do upper jump in this.
No, because up in the background.
They were hamstrung. So they give you a choice in how long you want to hit the fire button to jump.
Yes.
Okay. I will tell you right now, there is no good answer on that.
Well, long, but
and it's a real, so when it gets hot and heavy and you're trying to shoot and jump, you can forget it. You're boned. And there's no amount of prowess that's going to make you any better.
Well,
that's one of the two huge Achilles heels of the game.
Well, the
it's got two of them.
The jump is really not is supposed to be used to navigate the stage, not jump over bullets. Yes, you can jump over bullets, but I think the idea is you don't get into a situation where you need to jump over bullets.
Well, yeah, it seems like a great plan if you can pull that trick.
Well,
I mean, let me jump in here with this. So
you were pre-jumped. Yeah,
again, you've got your one or two players. I'll give you that. I like that you play this with two players. That'd be fun. All right.
Why?
I don't know, just be kind of neat, just something different, you know.
I disagree, but that's fine.
Why do you disagree? You don't like in any version? You don't think playing two
players? Because two players doesn't help with this.
Well, one of them can get stuff, and the other one can get, then you boat meet on the roof. It's kind of cool.
But you can't, you don't help each other with it.
You're not with each other, you're apart. But it's like xenophobes, it's the same sort of thing. Well, that's the way that game works. So, but anyway, with all that said, these games where you move into the foreground and the background, I'm not a fan. I've never liked them. Now, in this game, you're right. It's sort of jumping in the background. It's sort of like kind of hiding. Or
yeah, that's your stealth.
The problem is the bad guys can jump back there, too. The bad guys can hose you, too. Because they have the ability to walk in and out of the field of death.
Well, yeah, because like when you hit them with the door or something, they go back into the background
anyway. There are areas where they can walk back and walk forward.
Yeah, especially if they're looking out a window or something. Yeah. That's their position. And then you can sneak by them as long as they're looking away from you.
Let's just get a cut to the chase here. I had two huge problems this game. One was the control.
Yeah.
The other one was is the scrolling on this. It is god awful.
It's not good.
It creeps along. It stutters along. It's funny. I looked at this on a bunch of different platforms and played a couple. And this is probably, of the 16 bits, this is the worst in terms of the way it plays. You know, I will say it's better than, say, the Amstrad version. But even the C64 and the ZX, I mean, the ZX is super slow and it's monochrome, but it's steady. This one, this is inexcusable. This game would have been better as a flip screen game, where it just didn't even try to scroll. Like, I don't know what it is about the ST and scrolling, but this game couldn't handle the scroll. It run like crap. And so, by itself, you could probably, it would still be crappy, but you could get by on the scrolling. You'd be okay. But when you combine that with the controls, it's a double whammy, brother. And what really irritates me is, so I never played this game. Okay, never.
Yeah.
So I played it on here. And I was like, man, I want to like this, but I mean, it's got everything in it I like, in all honesty. But I'm like, I can't get past these controls and the scrolling. So I tried the arcade version. And the arcade version has multiple buttons.
Yeah.
It's smooth, obviously. And it's leagues and leagues and leagues more fun than this version. So I started looking at other versions of this. And for the most part, I don't think any of the more modern consoles of the time have any trouble scrolling this. Like, this is the worst one. Even like, and I'll give them credit, this is something Sega did. I looked at the Master System version. The Master System is not a super powerful machine. So what they did was they just cut out a couple of the panels and just gave you like a big panel. It worked. If the ST couldn't handle this, they should have done that. You know, if you can't handle the scrolling. And this game is all about the high-speed gameplay. You can't go in like this. And I call this a missed opportunity to have a game, because you're right. Otherwise, listen, the demo opening is great.
Yeah.
They got all the arcade stuff. The logo comes down on the balloon. It's got them walking in front of the wall. It all looks good. The stuff with the TV, it looks just like the arcade. And the game, on its own merits, looks like the arcade.
Still screen, it looks really good.
Yeah, still screen, you'd be like, yeah, this looks fine. But when you play it, that's when it falls apart.
The scrolling's not good.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Well, no. I don't know if I'd go that far. But I can't imagine. You would have thought they would have toned down the graphics. Because the graphics, like I said, look really, really good on the ST.
Right.
Just the animations and the scrolling are not good.
But I mean, if you look, we're looking at a comparison between the arcade and the Atari. And the arcade version, it's the smoothness of it. And I will say, having that second button makes a huge difference. What are you gonna do? You know, you only had one button. It's the usual crap where the game is hamstrung by the abilities.
Yeah.
I would rather have had the gun shoot when you hold the joystick and push forward. Anything but having the button do two things.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that would have been a good
Can you come up with a better solution to what they did in 3 seconds? Let's see if you've got something.
I mean, No, I can't.
You know, so the thing is, I'm ready to forgive them for that, even though it sucks. They were in a bad spot.
I guess buttoning up.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess you could have done that. But that is a real bummer.
Because you just, you'd have to button an up and then press forward. No, that wouldn't work either.
Something else the arcades got, and some other versions have, are these lots of kind of amusing digitized noises and like wacky sayings that come back.
Yes.
This doesn't have those. The arcade version, this is much more slapstick and wacky than the ST version. Because there's a lot more hitting guys with doors or luring them into falling on traps and stuff. So that's sort of more, that makes it kind of more jovial and fun. So this doesn't have everything that those had, but it's got a good
amount. It has a lot, yeah.
You know, what did you think about the premise of the game in terms of the map and stuff? Do you like how it plays out? It sort of reminded me of Reverse Keystone Capers. But maybe a little smidge of like an elevator action or something put in there. What do you think about not killing the cops either?
So let's pretend I'm talking about the arcade version for a moment.
All right.
So that gives the game the best benefit of the doubt. I don't like this game. I think it is slow. I think that the stealth mechanics in it are very rudimentary, which, I mean, I guess that's sort of a thing for the time. But when you go back and you look at, like, Metal Gear for the NES, which came out well before this, it's arcade stealth. You slip into the background. Everyone kind of forgets about you for a second. I guess that works. But for me, it's just not fun. Did you have fun playing this?
I had fun playing versions of this, but not the Atari version.
Right, so, would you go back and play this again, though?
On the Atari or in general?
In general.
Yes, I would play this again. And it tickles me in a way that, like I said, it reminded me just enough. And admittedly, part of it was just the makeup of those long panels and the scrolling. It reminded me of Keystone Capers in Reverse, which is fun. And I think the two-player version could be fun. Is this Elevator Action Returns?
No.
God, no.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying,
is this a game that's, like, off the charts? No. Because I personally, though, I'm not super fond of the look of it. I think you'd be better off going with, like, one of the Keystone Cops style, funnier, more, like, less slick. I know it was the era. They were trying to be technically impressive with this. I get that. But if it was me, if I was going to redo it, I would do it where you had it more like almost like a black and white movie, you know, like something like that. It'd be a little more wacky. They've got like bits in it, like Brent said, where you could trip a pop can or you could hit the rake or whack a guy out the door. So clearly they were going for that wacky, you know, nutty type of game, which is cool. I like that. But I would have made it a little more interesting. I'll tell you something else, too. Someone did a thing where they compared all these. So I went through and watched them, and I played a bunch of these. And the music on this is it's okay. But, I mean, I would call it pedestrian.
Really?
I mean, it's okay.
I disagree.
It's okay. And if you heard the other versions, they're way better. Like, almost every version has had better music than the Atari. And when I say, I don't mean the tune. I mean the implementation of the tune.
Yeah, I understand.
If you listen to, if you went and played for example, the best one, like, by a country mile musically was the PC Engine. Like, it was awesome. It was, like, full orchestral ultraness.
Hmm.
And then the best of these games that I saw, just in terms of straight-up best game, the X68000 version, it looked great. It was probably better than the arcade. So, I mean, it could be done. The Atari version, could they get the scrolling proper? I would assume they could. We've played stuff on here. You know, Christmas comes to mind.
Yeah,
like
but
nice, smooth scrolling.
Scrolling is kind of the Achilles heel of the ST.
Something else I should mention, I just noticed it popped up. I played this to the bonus stage three times, or four times, and three of the four times, it locked up the game on the bonus stage.
Oh, I'm sure that's an emulator.
And I wasn't playing an emulator. I was using the Mister, so I had to reboot. And now a couple times I had to fiddle with the stage to get to where I wanted it to be. So, yes, it was a pain in the butt from that aspect. So, I don't know if that your mileage may vary on the lockups, but trust me, it took me forever to get to that first bonus stage. I was furious when it kept locking up on me. I finally got through it one time. So, there you go. That's all I got. It's just, it's a poor attempt at the arcade machine that fell flat for me. But I mean, I think if you like this game, there are other versions that you could get into that would be fun for you. And the thing is, once you get past the initial heist, like there are other heists, like I said, you've got the mansion, the casino. The casino's pretty fun. You've got the art gallery. But I mean, really, and they do change things up a bit. Some areas have like a bouncy thing that be bounced between like buildings. Yeah. Sometimes there's also a dog that comes out.
Yeah.
There are several different types of bad guys. There's not a ton. In fact, the manual lists them as the junior security guard, a senior security guard, the catering staff. There's an area where you run to the kitchen, guard dogs, and heavies. Heavies are these big guys that take multiple shots. They throw like grenades
bombs,
or something.
Yeah.
You know, but really, they can be dispatched fairly easily if you're...
Well, you have to shoot them a lot.
But you can get to points in this game where you are in between a door and a guard and another... Because sometimes the guards on the other side of the door can come through the door and shoot. Sometimes they can. And you can get ping-pong. And,
yes.
And when you get killed in this game, like Brent said, you don't die. You just sort of loot. You get knocked down. You've got to pick your crap back up, all your goods that you stole. And you've got to get away. And there are areas where you can just lose lives real quick.
Yeah, you get about 3 seconds of invincibility, but sometimes it's not enough.
Did you like that aspect of it? Would you rather the game just restart from a position with you? I'm not sure I like starting right back. I can understand why they would do it, but starting right where you died is tough. That's a tough ask.
I mean, I think if they would have given you... 5 seconds of invincibility instead of 3.
Yeah.
I think that would have went a tremendously long way. But I think that would have also made a lot of the sections trivial. There was definitely times when I would just take a death just to be able to go faster.
Yeah.
And having to pick up your items again even shortens that invincibility time less.
Yeah.
Because you have to pick up all your stuff and then run. Or you can always run and then retake claim of the situation and come back and get your stuff later.
Yeah.
Which really is probably the best thing to do, but it doesn't feel like the best thing to do. So I think either a longer invincibility time or don't drop your items, because picking them up, it's not like it's a hassle or it's hard, but it does take up, you know,
yeah,
1 or 2 seconds of your invincibility, which makes it troublesome.
And depending on where you're at, it can be a pain. Something we hadn't even gotten into that much was the timer. The timer, it gets pretty tight.
In some of the later
and
stages.
In some of the earlier stages, it's pretty tight.
Well, what do you call a later stage? I'm talking like 3.
Well, there you go. But so that can be a pain. And if you don't like timers, you're not going to like this, because the timer absolutely comes into play. Before each mission, the bros tell the guy, we could steal this stuff in X amount of time, so they're on the clock. And you have to get to it real quick. You know, and this game, like I said, I like the idea of gunplay and stuff. And even that's robbed from you because when you've got multiple guards and you're ducking in and out, I like the concept of that. But your gun, it's so hard to fire the gun without jumping that it makes that difficult. You just can't depend on hitting that button to get your gun to fire. There you go. So I guess in closing, it's just, I don't like it.
What did Discord have to say about it, Aaron?
Yeah, we did get some reviews from Discord. I should mention, though, before we get to the Discord, I did look this up on eBay. This thing was going, you get this thing boxed, Brent, between $12 and $15. I saw a couple $20.
On the ST?
Yeah, you could get these, and there were plenty of them. So when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute. This must have sold in some numbers to get this much action. We did get one review. That was sort of on us because we were late getting everything cooking this week. But Jocko chimed in. He said, this is one of those games I've tried to play a few times because it looks like funky, unique, and fun game. But on every version I've tried, I just find the game dull. It's a bit slow and plotting in places, and the controls, especially on the home ports, can be a little clunky. Graphics and sound are pretty good, and the developers did a good job bringing the game to the ST. Sure, it's not as smooth as it needs to be, but it's perfectly playable. And back in the day, you wouldn't have had the easy comparison you have now. But game-wise, I don't get it. Sure, it's robbing a few places, hiding away and trying to get out without being caught. And normally I like sneaky stealth games like this, but Bonanza Bros is supposed to be lackluster, like it's missing something. Gameplay-wise, dropping all my stuff when I got caught was irritating. The game already penalizes you by knocking your character out for a few seconds, so having to collect stuff again feels like double punishment. On top of that, you can be nailed by opponents off-screen while you're trying to get through a door and close it behind you, which is probably the thing I like the least. Bonanza Bros. Feels like it has some roots in elevator action, only it didn't bring the fun stuff with it. Worth a try sometime for a little something different, but not my swag bag, baby. 6 out of 10. So I would not give this a 6 out of 10. I think this one's a fail. I'd give this a 5 out of 10, I think.
Well, 5 is the average.
No. Well, okay, whatever the F is what it gets at F. It's because the scrolling is unforgivable. If every other machine aside from, say, the CPC can get it right, this is the Atari ST. It's not, I know scrolling is not necessarily its bag, but it can do it better than this. And they took something that was, they did a half job, and they took something that could have been a lot of fun and made it marginal fun at best and a lot less fun than it should have been.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I think between, like you said, that and the button press issues, I would agree. I would say this is middling.
I will say, if you're going to play this on the ST, maybe bring a friend.
Can you imagine how bad it would lag?
I wonder
then.
If they've got any sort of gizmos that you could make a long and short press as separate buttons. And maybe if you could separate the shot from the jump, you might have something there. But you still got to continue with the scrolling, and they don't make a special joystick to handle that. That's for darn sure. Thanks, everybody, for hooking up with us here for another fun Atari ST show. Rich, are we sure what we're going to play next week on the Atari ST, or next month, I should say, on the Atari
next
ST show?
Next show.
Let's have
next
a look
show.
Here. Oh, man.
Oh,
this one.
Thank you.
This is from our newly christened game selection committee. This is BattleTech, the Crescent Hawks Inception. Now, I have played some PC BattleTech games. I don't know if I've actually played this one or not, to be honest with you. I've never played on the ST. But me and you have had a cup of coffee with the old BattleTech universe.
Oh, absolutely.
Back in the day. So that should be a good time.
Oh, I wonder if this is a shooter or if it's strategic.
I don't know.
I definitely have not played this for the Atari.
I would like to thank the Game Select Committee, and a special shout out to Mitsuyama, who has really went into the Atari ST and the Coco show and really gotten it together over there, because now I've got games. I've got literally the games the next couple of shows, which is always nice. I don't like coming into the show and not knowing what we're going to be playing next time around. So that will be on the next Atari ST show. I believe, Brent, next week we're back in the saddle at ARG Presents. You recall,
yes.
Will you call what we spun the last time?
The system. It starts with an S.
Is it the Exidy Sorcerer?
It is.
It is. It's the Exidy, and this is a Lob Sterminator joint. You know, I couldn't believe that we had never played the Exidy Sorcerer. The thing is, the reason I was confused is because we did play arcade games by Exidy.
Oh, there you go.
But we never played the actual machine. That should be a lot of fun. That'll be coming up on next week's ARG Presents. I'm looking forward to giving that one a shot, Brent. Now, we want to talk about a couple of things that are coming up in the next couple of months. I want to talk about April 20th, a Saturday, 4 p.m. It's all going down. It's the International Computer Club. If you are interested in doing something on the International Computer Club, there is a sign-up sheet in the Discord. So sign up today. And if you are interested, just checking it out. We'll be broadcasting live on YouTube and Twitch, as we always do. That should be a lot of fun right there. Do we have anything else coming up that you want to bill? I mean, we could probably talk about Boat Fest real quick.
We've got the Pod Jam.
Oh, sure, the Pod Jam. I'm glad you mentioned that, the Brent. So we have, thanks to Boat mainly, we put up a Pod Jam, the 2024 Pod Jam. What is this? This is where we challenge you to make one episode of a podcast if you're choosing. I mean, an original show.
Yes.
Of your choosing, and then you just pop over and put it up on the podcast. I'll get the address for that here in a second. Now, we've had some entries, Brent. Have you heard all the entries?
I'm trying to stay not spoiled until I get my own up there.
Oh, God. We don't have all year.
Well, the entries have to be in by, I believe, May, middle of May. Is that correct?
I believe. Let me see if I've got. Here's the itch.io. Let me have a look here. So, the submissions are due in a month and 12 hours. So, that means a May 1st, 2024 submission to do. You can check out the Amigo Aaron's Pod Jam 2024 at itch.io/jam/podjam2024. And you can, and right now, I believe we have four submissions so far. Of course, me, you, and Boat got one in, and also, or me and Boat, I should say, and also Graham just put in the 7-4 show, which was I listened to as well. I'm not going to say anything about these tour races because I don't want to sway the voting on it. Boat has also started a Spotify channel for the Pod Jam. So if you type in Pod Jam 2024, two words, Pod Jam, you should be able to get to that, and you could actually just listen to this stuff like you listen, like on like a channel. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Lastly, I want to pitch Boat Fest. Boat Fest is coming up Friday.
Third annual.
Yeah, Friday, June 14th, 15th, and 16th. 2024 at Herkin, West Virginia. We will be getting it together. It should be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of people coming in with a lot of different computers and consoles, video games, and we're, you never know who's going to show up, and you never know what they're going to bring. We've already heard a lot of interesting submissions.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to it. Brent, what are you looking forward to for a Boat Fest this year? What are you really licking your chops for?
Well, I mean, Boat Fest is just good overall.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one thing, I guess the feature table sounds like it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the auctions. And I'm just looking forward to seeing all of our buddies and meeting some new people that come around to experience Boat Fest. Well, I think that is all we've got, the Brent. I hope everyone has a good week. And we will catch you this time next week for a little ARG Presents the Exidy Sorcerer. Should be fun. And until next time, remember, always play
your ST.
Close enough.